echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 17, High Tech for Higher Education. In this episode, we'll take a look at how educational institutions are evolving their technology to keep up with the increasing demands of students and faculty to engage with a digital campus. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. And joining me today is Eve Salty and Jesus Gomez. Welcome back to the show, Eve. Could you share a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hi, Chris, and thanks for having me back. My name is Eve Salty. I'm the head of strategic platforms for Google Cloud, and I've been with the Google family for about 2.5 years. Before that, I spent 17 years at Microsoft. Six of them was in the education space.
Great. And Jesus, how about yourself?
Thank you, Chris, for inviting me as well. My name is Jesus Gomez. I am an strategic business executive for the public sector, and I drive the definition implementation of solutions to reimagine education and research at a global level.
Excellent. Welcome, both of you. Glad to have you. So let's start here. Colleges and university campuses are really a vibrant, complex ecosystem of learning and discovery. The shift to remote learning at all levels of education has thrown the challenges of ensuring student success and the student experiences into this really sharp focus. Educational institutions want to guide students throughout their academic careers and improve graduation rates. And students want better remote learning options and ways to collaborate with peers and seek advice from instructors. And of course, both of those are struggling because the campus experience has completely changed. Jesus, without diving into the obvious, right? College campuses have changed this year. What does this really mean, though, for students and faculty when we look to next year?
Yeah, Chris, as you just mentioned, we all realize how challenging this year has been, especially in education, where more than 1.2 billion students were forced to move to full online learning within a few weeks. McKinsey just reported last month that there is an estimated loss of $19 billion in the education market this year because of the COVID-19 impact. As you can imagine, that changed tremendously priorities, right? And one of the things that we are observing is that education leaders are looking into how they can prioritize initiatives that drive efficiency and drive the cost down. And we're seeing examples about initiatives that help them to automate call centers or use AI to launch chatbots. But at the same time, they are looking into how can I modernize our services with a graceful integration of our existing infrastructure. So I don't have to take away the infrastructure that I already have, and I can build a new experience for faculty and students by leveraging the investment that we made on those systems years ago.
I agree with what Jesus is saying about the challenges, and we've definitely seen remote learning really skyrocket as a trend. And remote learning, as you mentioned, Chris, is creating new challenges around how to provision this online content, how to modernize the overall student online experience, what data to track, how to analyze this data. So personalization is becoming another trend that we're seeing, especially since the demands from the student body are really driving that trend. These are individuals that are very tech savvy, that they're experiencing technology at a very personal level through their everyday life, and they expect the same from the institutions that they're going to. So right now we see administrators and education leaders alike really investing in services and technologies to really provide that personalized student experience. And also the other part of really going more remote is the whole safety and security. So another challenge that they have, that as we grow the personalization, how do we safeguard the experience for these students? How do we really ensure that there are no data breaches where their personal information is safeguarded? So these are some of the different challenges that these leaders are grappling with, and they will continue to be challenged even after the pandemic is over.
Campuses as a vibrant, complex ecosystem. From a technology perspective, we often talk about digital ecosystems in terms of how we all connect with each other or products or services, you know, such as you walk into a Starbucks and you use your phone to pay, you get loyalty rewards, and maybe you want to post a picture of that new peppermint mocha or in social media or something like that. But we are also seeing this kind of transform the campus ecosystems as well, right?
Absolutely. It's the physical campus and the overall concept of it, of a digital ecosystem, because the campus has a lot of different operations. And to begin with, the definition of a digital ecosystem is a distributed, adaptive, and open system. So a digital ecosystem needs to be robust and scalable. And that's why schools are looking to prioritize platforms that can help them really support their learning goals, whether it's course content, assignments, grades, sharing documents. And what we see across many education institutions is the proliferation of data as key ingredients to their digital strategy. And data, if it's not activated, it's not very useful. And that's why we see that more and more education leaders are interested in learning more and leveraging APIs to activate this data that they have. Because APIs become this critical component that they can help them bring new services and offers to market faster and easier so that they can stay competitive, especially these challenging times. So they realize the value of APIs as activators to the data that they have so that they can provide this personalized type of experiences that we talked before. And this is where the Apigee platform comes into play. Basically, Apigee provides that bridge between the legacy systems that a lot of these institutions have and the modern applications that their students, their faculty, and the administrators really demand from them.
So a little bit about myself. I started to attend online classes back in 2000. I completed my bachelor's at an online campus in 2008. I completed my MBA exclusively online in 2012. And I began teaching online courses as a professor at two different universities in 2014. I've seen the evolution of remote learning. The processes, the tools, the technologies all have improved. But today, remote learning is creating several new challenges. Some campuses are just not set up to quickly pivot to online classes. Content is not always readily available in a digital format. And even though today's students are fairly well-versed technologically, not all students have equal access to technology they need. And honestly, the schools also don't have the right technology platforms to make everything work seamlessly. Jesus, is it important for campuses to modernize these services?
Totally, Chris. Indeed, Boston Consulting Group just reported that 32% of a student enrolling this year say that they will likely choose those schools based on their online experience. This can give you an idea of how important it is to deliver the best personalized experience online. And to be able to do that, to bring that agility that you just mentioned, you have to make sure that you build a flexibility in a completely new hybrid environment.
And what are some of the things that institutes have to think about as they start down that journey of modernization?
I'm going to bring an example of a university that we're working closely with. It's the University of California in Santa Barbara, which, as you know, it's a top research university here in Southern California. Basically, they wanted to modernize their campus operations. They had academics, dining, housing, administration, employee and student life cycle, information systems, and all of them were not necessarily connected. So they wanted to create a seamless campus experience, improving the experience on the student and the faculty and the administration front, but also bringing these cost efficiencies that are really top of mind for a lot of institutions now. So they worked with Google and Apigee, and we helped them put together a strategy in place around a holistic digital transformation. And more so, and also more specifically, we helped them create a robust and flexible developer portal so that they can manage all of these campus administration and student success scenarios in a more streamlined, secure, but also well-governed way. Especially now with, you know, all these unprecedented challenges that the pandemic has created, universities are seeking to improve their campus and facility management services. All of this back-end information reside in somewhat legacy or older systems that are not really connected. So really providing a facade, a UI that will help developers, partners, and administrators to really manage, first of all, view all this information in a more holistic way, and then manage them in order to provide this more seamless experience for students. It's really, really paramount.
And to follow up on that, Jesus, what are the different types of services or maybe platforms that campuses really should be looking for or integrating directly with?
Two main services. One of them is what Eve just mentioned. It's like they already have existing infrastructure, existing application. How they can help to gracefully integrate them, bring interoperability and reinforce each other, getting value out of the investment that they already made. The second is university has to learn to launch new type of content faster, to bring a new experience to their students and their professors. To do that, they are adopting edtech platforms. They must be able to integrate those edtech platforms extremely effectively, securely, and privately. Okay, so they bring new experience in a compliant and private way. Universities are using a tremendous amount of edtech platform. Indeed, the average edtech platform use is like 20 to 30 by a single institution. So you can imagine how important it is to bring that governance and that effective integration. To give you an example, learning management system that they use to deliver the content online to facilitate the online collaboration between students. You can launch new services that interconnect to your existing learning management system to bring additional intelligence to the platform. For example, to bring smart analytics on real time and determine where are the differences between the students that are performing well and the students that are struggling, so that your team can proactively support those students and bring their academic performance up.
So Eve, Jesus was just talking about different types of ed tech capabilities at campuses and trying to build these relationships between all of the different types of technologies and platforms to make these experiences happen on campuses. How do we put that in a different perspective? Or how do we look at that in terms of being able to build these partnerships between different organizations, or maybe even partnerships between campuses, between staff and students? What does that look like?
That's an interesting question, Chris. We see that universities today are looking to partners to extend the institution's learning value by connecting to third parties. And whether this is content or additional capabilities, they're looking to third parties to really augment that portfolio of services and products that they have. So having a strong digital platform at the core of their operations is really key to help them easily, faster, and more securely connect with these partners. As an example, especially because we were talking about remote learning earlier, we see, for example, APIs being used from universities to connect easily to third parties for content. There are a lot of MOOCs that are available, and universities are looking for creative partnerships so that they can augment the type of services that they provide, the type of courses, content, certifications that they provide for their students. So having really this API platform as the nervous system of the organization makes things much easier. For example, we worked with Pearson's eCollege, which is a leading global provider of integrated education technology and content. And we helped them basically create an easy way to connect and really funnel that content towards education institutions. And as a result, they were able to really streamline the integration across silos. They were able to simplify that partner integration. And one of their top leaders was saying that APIs are no longer considered solely in the realm of technology, but a key business enabler for Pearson's success in the digital world. So we see more and more APIs in the context of business value rather than just another technology lever.
And a lot of these partnerships, ecosystems, experiences that are evolving both from a technology point of view and from a campus point of view have also had impact on other areas. Hey, Zeus, how are these experiences maybe impacting equality or diversity?
Yeah, Chris, this year, what we have observed is online learning in general has a tremendous negative impact in diversity and equity. If you look at the minority population of the student base, less than 40% are the only ones that are able to get access to the equipment that they need for remote learning. So one of the things that we are looking at Google is how can we provide solutions that give every type of student the chance to succeed? So that you need to get access to a very powerful machine with GPUs, you can do that from a very low cost device, having a great experience, great security, so that we help closing that accessibility digital gap that we are observing this year. The API services are a great solution for that on the short term.
Now, when I think about the digital campus, and let's focus in on that, especially if we think about the digital campus of the future, I tend to look beyond the classroom. I just found a Bureau of Labor report that shows the time use of an average weekday for full-time college students. Now, granted, this was from 2016, but I think this gives us some really interesting insights to think about. The report showed that students spent less than an hour grooming, about an hour eating, 2.5 hours working, 3.5 hours performing educational activities, 4 hours of leisure, and almost 9 hours of sleeping. If any of you have lived on a campus, I think you could say that's probably accurate. Now, if you think about this from our own personal experiences, my work-life balance, and how I engage with meetings virtually, and what I do in between those. And another interesting thought, the smart home, where I can set things up and make my life easier as I go throughout my day. If we think about this and we start to predict what the smart campus might look like, how does 2021 or 2022 evolve the smart campus? Eve, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. If I had a crystal ball, I would say that we're not going to be talking about a digital campus. We're going to be talking about a smart campus, smart and interactive campus, because this is what we're experiencing right now in our personal life, right? In our homes, in our cars, our stores, our banks. We're really dealing with advanced technologies that are going to start permeate more and more the education space. higher education institutions have been inundated by various infrastructures and platforms siloed by strategy that often does not go past the respective unit and stakeholders that they service. But because of the need to service an ever-growing and evolving body of students and other stakeholders, I think we're going to see education institutions really going towards green, safe, and cost-effective campus operations. This is an investment they cannot afford not to make. Also, the overall safe campus concept will evolve, especially with biometrics and IoT that really are becoming part of everyday life, technological advancements like facial recognition, alert systems, location, intelligence, mining patterns to help ensure constituents are safe. This is a reality within the US, in North America, but it's becoming a reality for the rest of the world. So creating and safeguarding the campus experience will become a key priority for these institutions. And the other piece is really the quality of campus life. How do we design and maintain a more efficient transportation and mobility strategy for the students? How do we foster healthier constituents within the campus? Again, leveraging things from the consumer world that will start getting more prominent into education, like wearables, to make sure that we analyze data and signals coming from these sources to identify health patterns and start having a more proactive type of approach to student life.
Yeah, I think about even things like contactless food ordering that we all have today. And think about that now at a campus cafeteria and what that might look like. These are the things that campuses, universities now have to consider, and they have to be able to build and support those types of demands that the students are expecting, right? Jesus, what are your predictions?
Chris, I agree with both of you in terms of the students are expecting to connect with the university with the same level of personalization and real-time response that they are getting in the consumer world. If I am a student and I have a question at 2 a.m., I would like to receive a personalized answer at 2 a.m. I don't have to wait until next day. You know, at the same time, I would like my school to recommend me this, you know, based on your priorities, your preference, and the major you are working towards, these are the classes that I recommend you for next fall, or the guest speakers that are coming on campus that may be of interest of you. So we are seeing that requirement of personalization of services. At the same time, from the academic operational perspective, what we are observing is that first, universities want to automate the common questions and processes, bring the cost down there, and shift their investment in new initiatives that bring a differentiated learning experience for their students. And at the same time, they are looking for innovative ways to deliver new content much faster than before. They have to integrate with new partners to do that. Those are the two major trends that we are going to observe in the next 2 years. And one thing is clear, we cannot engage on long and expensive projects. Those old projects that institution took 5 or 6 years to migrate to a new CRM system, I didn't see the value of the project until the end of the implementation. Those days are gone. That model doesn't work anymore. What we are seeing is institutions that want to engage in initiatives that provide quick wins so that they can learn from them and determine what's the next step to on the digital journey for that institution. So we're going to see small projects, various integration, and then building services on top of that.
You had two things in here that are really interesting. The first one is artificial intelligence. Like, what do we see happening on campuses in terms of AI?
Yeah, so we are seeing AI being applied in two main areas. One is automating processes. Like, for example, we have seen university like Penn State and Australia University that are reporting that 93% of their questions and requests are being answered automatically by an AI chatbot. That gives them so much time now to focus on more human-centric personal connection that provide a differentiated experience, right? So that's the first area. The second area is that how we can use AI to predict academic outcome, to predict where my students are going to need 2 years down the road, and then bring that content forward to make sure that we are ready to help our students to adapt to a market landscape that is changing so rapidly.
Yeah, the other thing you touched on was curriculum and content development. And I can tell you right now, as a professor, I often get materials to teach to students that is substantially outdated. And I keep thinking that, you know, we're in a world now where we should be able to seamlessly and quickly collaborate on content that is updated, accurate, genuine for students, and not go through this process of saying, hey, we've got this textbook and none of it is digitized, so we can't actually put this online and make it available, when there's plenty of other pieces of content and other partners and other ecosystems of materials that we can leverage and send that data through various APIs or through various other services that are going to make the classroom learning experience more interesting.
I absolutely agree with this. And not only the classroom experience, but also really the assessment of how future ready these students are. So more and more we see universities partnering with technology companies like Google to really augment the type of courses and the right, you know, and the content that they offer, and also provide and really attach the right certifications and micro-credentials to that. So when these students graduate, they don't only graduate with a degree from that institution, but they have the micro-credentialing from a highly regarded technology innovator that can translate into the future job that they're getting.
I completely agree. And I think that brings us to our question of the day. Okay, here we go. Our question of the day. What is the one thing our campus can do today, or the one technology we should consider implementing to help us move into the future of education? Jesus, what do you think?
I will give you one that is really important for me, and is equality of access. There is a study by Equify that reports that more than 3 million of students in US drop out of college every year because they have a time-sensitive financial crisis of less than $500. Now, we could use artificial intelligence to help institutions to distribute that financial aid more wisely so that we can bring talent from low-income families that are currently being priced out by an outdated system. That is something that we should do right now. The technology is there. We have done it in a couple of campuses and are really invested on giving every person the chance to succeed at any institution.
Such a great idea. Eve, how about you?
I really love this idea from Jesus, so I absolutely second that, because providing equity should be goal number one for every educational institution. As an additional element, I would say interactivity, really leveraging digital identity, augmented reality, virtual reality technologies, we have to bring fun back into learning. Somehow, I think we started down that path, and after years, they beat it out of us. So I think we need to instill interactivity and bringing fun and creativity and innovation back into the learning environment. And this is where technology can play a key role.
I am a huge fan of interactivity, so I also plus one that idea. Thank you both for joining today. It was a real honor. I appreciate your insights and thoughts on this topic.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. And it was a real honor on my end to being interviewed by a professor.
Thank you, Chris, for having us.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you'd like to learn more about the show or get more information about how Google is helping build digital campuses, visit thatdigitalshow.com. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another digital transformation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.